being a successful entrepreneur, a successful business owner, you have to innovate. Sparking those kind of ideas, I think, is what your industry needs right now. But sitting down and brainstorming about these things with business owners, I think, is going to spark that innovation, which will help the industry not just survive, but potentially thrive in certain areas.
Hi, my name is Jason Hall. I'm the president of AMCO, or the American Master Chef's Order. Some history on AMCO. It was formed in 2014 by a group of master chefs, including Bill Franklin, who spearheaded this concept. The idea was to look at the brand, see how we can further develop it and develop the exam going forward to meet ever-changing needs within the industry, to offer a coming together of our guild once you've passed the exam on the other side, and then also to start to develop the training and support needed for candidates as they approach the exam. Our mission is to promote, sustain, and perfect our craft, all while identifying and supporting and inspiring the next generation of candidates as they progress towards becoming an American Master Chef. You can reach us and see more information on our website at AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.
Welcome to episode 2 of the AMCO podcast. We're here today with Master Chefs Jason Hall, Anthony Seda, and I'm Gerald Ford. Welcoming as our guest today, Josh Schiltz from Schiltz CPA from Jacksonville, Florida. And he's here with us today to discuss insights into the current federal assistance program and the CARES Act. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me today, gentlemen.
Josh, this is Jason. Can you discuss with us some things right now that can provide relief for the struggling businesses?
Absolutely. So the CARES Act, which Congress passed, about 9 days ago, had the most generous provisions for helping the small business owners. And small business owners are defined by businesses having less than 500 employees, which makes up those businesses in there make up over close to 50% of our workforce in the United States. In addition to the tax components of that, and that's really a separate discussion, what I'm talking to my clients and advising them about right now is two things: the Payroll Protection Program, which we call the PPP, and the Emergency Disaster Loan Program. The Payroll Protection Program is getting the most attention, and I'll tell you why. If you use the monies you receive for that, and I'll go into the calculation of that over an 8-week period, if you use the money for payroll, at least 75% of the money has to be used for payroll. Rent, mortgage interest, and utilities, you will then submit the documentation to your lender or the SBA, and that loan will be forgiven. So the calculation is the trailing 12 months, what is your average payroll, okay? And in that, you include gross payroll, so taxes are included into that. You also include health insurance premiums, and then any payments to 401k. So it's the total amount there. You take that amount and you multiply it by 2.5, and that's your loan amount. So let's say that that calculation comes out to $100,000. Once you receive the money, there's what's called an 8-week period. It's called the covered period. And if you use those funds for those four components I talked about, that money will be forgiven. You will not be subject to any interest or anything like that. So it's a very attractive program for business owners. The second is the Emergency Disaster Loan. It's not getting as much attention because of the payroll protection, but that is another funding that the SBA is offering that will allow business owners to get low interest loans. The interest rates are around 4%, and there's varying terms on that. But those are just two of the programs out there. What I'm also seeing is a lot of states are providing emergency loans, as well as some cities and municipalities.
Excellent. And all that's available now?
Yeah. So that's a great question. The SBA is working with the lending institutions. The SBA is the Small Business Administration. And they were supposed to open up the funding of that $350 billion on Friday. So within less than a week of Congress passing that, they wanted to start funding. And they have started funding some of that money. But you can imagine it's a tremendous undertaking to get something like this done. So there has been some hiccups, but most lending institutions, if you're already an existing client, they'll work with you because they know you. So for anyone who's listening to this podcast and you're interested, there's two phone calls you make immediately. The first one would be to your lending institution, specifically their SBA department, to determine who is in charge of that so they can get you the application form. The second phone call would be your CPA, your financial advisor, whoever you work with, to understand the loan, to understand what documentation needs to be put into that package so you can make sure that it's done smoothly. We're all under a lot of stress just trying to maintain our business as it is. There are certain professionals out there that can help you get through this process and make it as quick and easy so you don't have to go around digging for W-2s and 940s and all the different documentation that sometimes is required for it. So I would encourage anyone in that situation to first and foremost reach out to their lending institution, see if they are an approved SBA lender, and get the process going. It's a simple application. And then the goal is that so the lending institution is working directly with the Treasury, and they're the conduit of the money. The goal is to have businesses funded within 7 to 10 business days. I think it's going to be a little bit longer. I think you need to consider, 2, 3, 4 weeks it potentially taking. But that said, it's still a tremendous opportunity, and it's a way for businesses to maintain their workforce as we go through this unknown period. And if you notice, what they're saying is an 8-week period, and I think reading a little bit between the lines, that's what the government is expecting as far as how long it'll take for the country to get back up and recover.
So a question with that would be then, if I furloughed my employees, then if I get this loan and I bring them back, is it retro pay that has to be given to them, or is it I just put them back on the payroll at that time, and then that will then satisfy the regulations that have been documented?
So that's a good question. So first, I've had it, but let me tell you what my thoughts are. Remember, there's two calculations or components into this. It's what was your payroll for trailing 12 months before you were affected by this. So a lot of times the lenders are saying, what was your payroll through the end of February 2020? I think they understand that certain businesses have been disrupted faster than others. So what you would do then is bring your employees back, put them on payroll, and during that covered period, you'd pay them the best you can, right? But here's the thing. What they're saying is that at least 75% of that loan amount has to be used for payroll. So if you had a reduced payroll, but you were still using the money for rent, utilities, or mortgage interest, that other 25%, you're going to be okay. But that's where I say you're going to want to talk to potentially your CPA or your advisor to run that calculation and see how that looks. One of the big things I'm dealing with my clients and just individuals calling us is, let's forecast our operations on what does our business look like now, short term, and then long term.
One of the things that, are there any more resources? I know you've sent some information out to us that, you know, a lot of our colleagues are, you know, they're chefs and then they really need to understand, you know, what this legislation means. I mean, that will be passing or is passing. I mean, there's thousands of pages. I know I called my accountant and he said,
yeah.
You know, I asked him a question and he said, Tony, I've only been just started reading the multi thousands of pages that go along with this particular information. So, you know,
so there are good resources out there that are straightforward and simple. The best I've seen is the United States Chamber of Commerce has just a few page infographic that talks directly about these programs. It's easy to digest. And you can just Google United States Chamber of Commerce, SBA loans, COVID or coronavirus, and that will come up for you. And I think that has been, it's something that I use and send out to my clientele because I like how straightforward and simple it is. And you're right. I mean, the legislation was 900 pages. The SBA continues to put pages of guidelines into it, and it's just going to get thicker and thicker. But the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and then because I'm a CPA, I always go to the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, which is the AICPA's coronavirus resource page. And they have a lot of interesting things. The AICPA is very involved with Treasury in talking about, for example, there was a concern that the $350 billion was on a first-come, first-served basis. And then once the money was gone, there was no longer being available. The AICPA sent out a video and a note saying that, no, look, they are already speaking with Treasury, and they know that there needs to be more money. Also in the video that came out, it was either Saturday night or Sunday morning of this week, what they told us too is, because there was a lot of questions on how do we calculate the payroll, you know, some of this language can be left to interpretation, we're getting feedback from this place, and the AICPA told us to use gross payroll. So I stay with them from the financial standpoint. But if I was, you know, a restaurateur or a chef or what, in the hospitality, specifically the restaurant industry, the United States Chamber of Commerce is a great resource. And then the Small Business Administration, SBA, has a lot of good information for just small business owners. And what they do is a very good job, both of those organizations, of giving clear-cut guidance that it will not overwhelm an individual. I think they all recognize that everyone's just overwhelmed right now.
So the innovation that's going to come out of this is probably one of the most exciting things because it is a new economy. It is going to be a new world. So that to me is going to be how as an industry do you innovate here for the short term, and then how does it impact you in your operations from a long-term aspect?
So I think that that kind of covers some of our, I mean, a whole slew of resources that help business owners better understand legislation. Josh, so I guess your number one recommendation would just be to communicate with your CPA or communicate with your financial advisor, right?
Your financial institution, whoever you're banking with, right? Whether that be the community bank or the large bank, you're going to want to reach out to your contact there. You're going to want to specifically reach out to who's ever in charge of commercial lending in the SBA. There's usually an SBA 7A advisor, which reminds me also, another benefit that came out of the CARES Act is if you already have an existing SBA note, the SBA is going to cover your principal and interest for the next 6 months. It's not a deferral. It's not a forbearance. If you owe $100,000 now, after 6 months, it'll be lessened because the SBA is going to pick up your principal and interest. So you're going to want to talk to whoever is the holder of that note to make sure that they put in for that program too. It's another form of relief. But back to your original question, you want to talk to the SBA 7A supervisor personnel for your lending institution. And that SBA website also if your lending institution is not giving you the warm and fuzzy, the SBA has a site that will tell you who approved lenders are. And then for any of you that are working with a CPA or have your own CPA, I would reach out to them. My firm has relationships with certain lending institutions. It's the business we're in. And it's one of the benefits where working with your CPA or potentially your advisor would help you kind of get into the mix as opposed to just cold calling.
Oh, very good. Josh, I've got one question for us. You know, some of us that are out there are, contract workers or gig workers.
Yep.
You know, what can we do? I understand it's part of it, part of this act that's come about. But, I've tried going on with the state of Tennessee, and they said it's going to take 23 minutes, and it takes 23 minutes times 10 because there are so many, so many people trying to get into this unemployment insurance.
Unemployment is one avenue for 1099 and independent contractors. But come April 10th, the Payroll Protection Program is going to open up for those individuals. But here's kind of the potential stumbling blocks there. If I'm in 1099, I report my income on a Schedule C, which is an abridged income statement. If you didn't pay a lot of taxes, you're not going to get the full benefit of this. That being said, for those individuals who are independent contractors or 1099s, the business that you work for is not going to be able to cover you. They can't include that in their payroll costs. However, you as a 1099 independent contractor starting April 10th can work directly with that lending institution's SBA department to get your own forgivable loan from under the Payroll Protection Program. The guidance that we got is that's going to start April 10th. So for those of you who are listening to that podcast, that are listening to this podcast, you're going to want to go out and reach out to those lending institutions as soon as possible. Let me say this, right? I think that just like we're learning – you know, we were supposed to get applications in for business owners on Thursday and Friday. Thursday night, we got new guidance. So we worked all weekend updating my own application for my business as well as for our clients. And we're getting through it, right? As I sit here now, Tuesday morning, applications are being received. They're in that queue. I think we'll go through the same process with independent contractors. The one thing that is constant is new information. Because it's been so fast-tracked the calculation for payroll relief for independent contractors, I think we're going to get more guidance on that, okay? So if you were a payroll contractor and you incurred certain expenses within your business – just like a business owner incurs payroll, rent, and utilities, there's going to have to be some guidance that goes along with that. But that's just my two cents, and that's kind of me reading the tea leaves. So that's what I think will happen. I don't think that they're just going to preclude or cut off all those individuals. There's some very smart people at the Treasury and at the Small Business Administration that are going to recognize some of those challenges. The one thing I will say about the CARES Act is it really is trying to help all businesses. And let me say this to everyone. Some businesses are luckier than others, and you got some people who are saying, well, I think I'm going to be okay. I don't want to get into this. My advice to you would be to get this payroll protection program. And the reason being is no one knows what the future holds. We do not know how long this pandemic will be around. I think the one thing that all of us on the call before we got on, we were talking about is, look, The economy, it's a new economy. Industries are rapidly changing with the way we conduct business. So there is disruption that is occurring, and there is economic uncertainty. So at the very least, the money should be taken to help cover those hard costs. And if you do have extra cash flow, I would suggest, you know, what are some things that I need to invest in? Is it online marketing? Is it delivery or packaging services for the restaurant industry? Start thinking about how you can use some of those unappropriated funds to develop your business, because the government's full intent was after 2 months or whatever the timeline is, businesses that even if they had a strong balance sheet, they're going to have an even stronger balance sheet to be able to go and continue operations. This is not the financial crisis of 2008. This is a health pandemic. This is no one's fault. This is just, you know, an unforeseen event. This didn't have to do with mortgage fraud or anything of that nature. And the government recognizes that, and they're here to give the taxpayers and the small business owners of America the ability to not only maintain operations, but then come out on the other side ready to go, and whatever that economy and industry looks like.
So, Josh, how can business owners prepare for the next few months ahead?
The number one thing I'm talking to business owners about is sitting down and looking at your balance sheet. How much cash reserves do I have? What expenses are a must? I think, as I was just pointing out, the business model is changing, specifically in the hospitality and restaurant industry. What is your short-term forecast on how you expect to have revenues now into the future? What expenses are needed to have those revenues incurred? And then in that short term, and when I talk short term, right now we're talking 15, 30, 60 days. What does that mean then as we go through the rest of 2020, right? How much cash do I need? If you need money in addition to the forgivable loan, how do you – does that work for you? There's generous interest rates involved with that, but it's another portion of debt. It's going to have an impact on your cash flow as a business owner, because you're going to have to pay that principal and interest. So sitting down, developing a strategy, almost redoing your business plan, is something that I'm encouraging business owners in all industries to do. I myself am sitting here daily thinking about, how does my business change? What are the new services? What are services that I don't think are going to be in demand? How I market to my clientels and my colleagues? How do I deliver services? Are all things that are changing, and you really need to dust off the old business plan and think about what that means short term and then longer term, not just into 2020, but maybe into 2021. So, small businesses are run by entrepreneurs and very creative people. And what the one thing I think is, we're going to see innovation. We're going to see new services and product offerings in all industries, specifically in restaurant, where some business owners are going to gain a competitive advantage, right? There's no reason that a high-end restaurant has to have a huge 100,000 square foot dining room, maybe. Maybe there's something that's changing, that you're having high-end restaurants that are delivering that high-end product to them, right? And we talked about that on before the podcast that we were chatting about. I think that the one thing is, this time has to spark innovation. It has to test our ability to grow and maneuver as business owners. But just like having any business plan, you need to have that financial plan that goes along with that. So in addition to, you know, throw out the old budget, come up with a new budget. But one of the things that I like to do with business owners is kind of a high, medium, and low. What is our best case, worst case scenarios, and what does that look like? And, you know, it goes to the old adage, prepare for the worst, hope for the best. And I think if you can run your business like that, we all end up pleasantly surprised most of the time. because we are spending money correctly. The money that I spend should have a direct impact to my business that's going to produce revenues that allows me to make a profit. So that would be my advice. That's the advice I'm currently giving to my clients, and that's what me and my management team are talking about at least on a daily or weekly basis.
Are you currently accepting new clients?
You know, we are. This has been, I could sit here and as a business owner and say, well, tax season got delayed till July 15th. As I told you, I do a lot of forensic accounting and business valuation, expert witness work. Well, the courts are closed, so you don't really need an expert witness as much right now. That being said, we're still, that business has maintained. But what we've done is, and you can go to our LinkedIn page. I think that's one of our best resources because we're actually, we were in the middle of rebranding and redoing our website. But our LinkedIn page has become our landing page where we're getting information out. And we have identified new clients that are, you know, who I've enjoyed working with them because we're going through a struggle together. Part of the enjoyment of, in my business, you know, I don't like to do the same thing over and over. We have a tax practice. It's not like I'm the one sitting there crunching the numbers, I'll be honest with you. I like talking to the business owners. I like talking to them about what's our plan. I always ask my clients this question: what keeps you up at night as a business owner? What is your main concern? Number one thing I always hear is cash flow. So, you know, let's develop a plan on cash flow. It's different in hospitality because it's point of sale. You get your cash as soon as that sale is made. You look at my business, I have a lot of accounts receivable. We just got done billing for the month of March. How fast are my payments going to come in comparison? So those are the things that I'm focusing on and speaking to other business owners. But, yeah, we're accepting clients if we think it's the right match and they fit in with our model and personality. But there's a lot of good practitioners out there. And, you know, the one thing is we're also getting clients that are not just in Jacksonville or where our offices are. We're because of this increase in not just online marketing, but I have two or three Zoom meetings a day, and it's probably how I'm going to be doing my meetings going forward, because no matter where I'm at, I can look my employees or my client in the eyes and talk to them, and it's just a better way of doing business.
Thank you very much for spending your time with us today, Josh. I have just curious, is there one more piece of information that you really think that you want to share that anybody can benefit from right now?
That one little tidbit. My one little tidbit would be, yes. So there's a funny little thing in business, right? And I learned this when I worked at some larger organizations. In times of uncertainty, there is a way to build our cash reserves. And that is to speed up our collections and slow down our payables. Landlords, vendors recognize, especially those that are in good financial stability, recognize that people are having trouble. Talk to your vendors, your landlords, and see what you can do to defer, mitigate, extend payment terms so you can keep your cash available, right? That would be my one tidbit. Don't be afraid to go out there right now and ask that landlord, hey, can you work with me here? Because here's the thing. Think about it. If I'm a landlord, I'm going to go get the payroll protection program, and it's covering rent, and it's covering my mortgage interest. So don't let them double dip on you. I think you can't be quiet right now. There's no dumb question. The best thing to do is ask. Ask other professionals. We're constantly learning. You guys asked me a great question today that I hadn't thought about or been asked before. I was on the phone with a colleague of mine this morning, asked me. We're constantly learning. But that being said, I think speeding up getting cash in the door and slowing down how fast it goes out and understanding what is a real necessity right now, right? Is having that, meal, like for me, right? I used to spend a lot of money on lunches. Well, obviously, I'm not going out to lunches right now. And that's a marketing expense. So what am I doing to supplement that? Really looking at how you spend your money right now is important.
Perfect. That's awesome.
That was a great amount of information. So
good, good. I hope it was helpful, gentlemen. And like I said, please take that PowerPoint and distribute it as, if you'd like. And if there's anything I can do for you guys, the industry, or any of your members, do not hesitate to reach out.
Josh, would you mind if we, maybe follow up in the month ahead, or in 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah. Even in 2-3 weeks, because things are going to be changing, over the next 2 weeks. I think with the CARES Act and what's going on, and, you know, hopefully by the end of April, we're going to be in a better understanding of when and if we're going to get out of this and what it's going to look like.
The resources provided courtesy of Schiltz CPA are available on the AMCO website at AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. On the homepage, there's a tab for resources. It'll be located there.
On behalf of AMCO, I would like to thank everyone for listening today. This will be an ongoing series going forward. If you heard any topics today that you would like us to expand upon on a future episode, please feel free to contact us with questions or topics. You can reach us at podcast@AmericanMasterChefsOrder.org. Thank you.